You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Our next guest is sports tax man Robert Raiola, CPA. He's the director of sports and entertainment at PKF O'Connor Davies. He has written a book on winning tax strategies for athletes and entertainers. He's been a contributor to such publications as Sports Illustrated. And he's here today to talk about a variety of quirky and nuanced things as it pertains to revenue, deferred income, tax stuff. And he's going to make it interesting and exciting. Robert Raiola, all fired up and joining us. Where are you today?
I am in New Jersey, working in my office. And glad to be on 750 of the Game with you, John.
I appreciate you joining us. I want to start with an easy one, but it's kind of quirky, and I've been thinking about this. Juan Soto goes to the Mets. He wants number 22. Brett Beatty has got the number 22. I saw the videos. Soto gifts him like this SUV. It's like a $100,000 plus SUV. Beatty gives up the number. And I immediately thought about Robert Raiola, the sports tax guy, and I thought, is this taxable income? Is it a gift? What is it?
It's taxable income to Beatty. The truck was a MSRP of $92,000, so Beatty would have to put that on his tax return and add the other items like a Mets salary. The good thing for Beatty, he's reported to be a Texas resident, and there's no state tax there, and the transaction took place in Florida, so there's no nexus for New York. So he would not have to pay New York tax on that.
Man, I'm thinking about that. Taxable income seems like a gift. Help me out with deferred salary. The Dodgers are getting away with murder, and they're deferring Ohtani's salary, deferring all these salaries for another day. How smart is that in your mind? How does that impact free agents and how they might be drawn to play for the Dodgers or drawn to play for the Red Sox? I know they're getting into it too, but you tell me, tax burden and deferred money, how do those things walk hand in hand?
Sure. So it's a way to defer money out to maybe when a player is not playing anymore. I don't believe the players get interest, but when the Red Sox signed Lance Bregman, they gave him $120 million for 3 years, of which $60 was deferred. So what happens is he goes out 10 years, he gets $10 million a year for 6 years, equal streams of money, and the deferred money is not subject to Massachusetts tax. Now, this works for almost all states. Of course, there's a ruling under federal law that says that states cannot tax you if you're not performing any current services there and on the deferred money. So it's a home run for the player. What it does is with the whole CBA, it reduces the current value of the income stream so that $120 million is not really $120 million because you get it deferred. So it reduces the present value, but still, that's not a bad deal to be getting $10 million a year for 6 years.
All right, let me ask you this. So the Dodgers say to you, Robert Raiola, hey, we want to pay you $100 million, but we want to defer $50 million of it. When they begin paying the deferred money, are you taxed in the state that you live? Are you taxed in the state that you did the work once upon a time, or are you not taxed at all on that deferred money?
You're taxed in the state where you live. When you're a resident of a particular state, whether it be Oregon or New Jersey, you're taxed on your worldwide income. And when the deferred money is paid out, you have to pay federal tax and state tax to the state you're a resident of. A lot of these guys escape and they're like Texas or Florida residency, so that's where they beat the state tax.
I see.
But so $60 million, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, so if you were going to collect the deferred money, Robert, you'd move from Oregon to Texas or Florida and then you escape it.
Correct. Right. The other thing, so just to jump a little bit back to Soto, he got in his contract, John, he signed for $765 million. He got a $75 million signing bonus. Because of the language in the contract, he will pay zero New York State and zero New York City tax because he's not a resident of the city. He's a resident of Florida. So at 10% of the $75 million, that's quite a bit of money that he's saving in New York tax. That was a good move by Scott Burrows, his agent.
How do they get around that? Why don't the states put up a bigger fight, or what kind of language are they using?
It's funny that you mention that, because California was squawking when Ohtani signed his deal. And I think, you know, they said, okay, look, we got 8 more years till he gets his money. We're going to try to make a law somehow that we collect on that money. And it's there. It's viewed as a liability. So when you go to sell the team, you know, you got all this deferred money that the new owners are going to have to come up with. But it doesn't seem to deter the Dodgers.
Robert Rayola, at Sports Taxman on Twitter, is with us. I've tried to explain this to people. Maybe you can do a better job of it. I'm not sure I do a good job of it. But there is a jock tax in the state of Oregon. It goes back to 2003. There was a bill that was passed. It gives the potential Major League Baseball group in Oregon the opportunity to draw upon a bond of $150 million to put towards a stadium. The bond money comes from taxing the potential players and executive salaries. Can you dive into that a little bit and help explain to listeners how that works when players play their baseball in Oregon, potentially, hypothetically, or visiting players come to town, how their salaries
Absolutely.
Are taxed? Yeah.
Sure. Most states, John, use what's called the duty day formula. If, like, the Knicks are in town tonight to play the Trailblazers, this isn't Little League, so when a team comes to town, they don't come in the same day. They come in the previous day. So the Knicks would take 2 days over their total duty days for this year and next season up until December 31st and come up with a formula to multiply that by their salary. Now, if their players are residents of another state, let's not feel too bad for them. If they're residents of a taxing state, they would get a credit for the Oregon tax paid. But you can generate a ton of money. If, you know, you're talking about having 81 home dates, if you're a major league team, there could be significant money, you know, that comes in in revenue because of taxing these players. And you got to figure they play the West Coast teams probably 6 times more than they would play the East Coast teams. So it's not a bad move by Oregon. They have it there. The law's passed. The Knicks are paying tax when they go there tonight, and it's there. And, you know, that's a good point you made about the sharing of the revenue and how to draw on the money for funding the stadium.
There's still people, Robert, who say, no public money. And I go, hold on. It doesn't exist unless there's a team. This is not a tax on your salary. This is not a sales tax. This is a tax that's created out of thin air. Is that a customary thing? Do you see that in other states where they're getting bonds on, you know, taxable income of teams, or is this a unique situation?
I think it's been going on for a while in Oregon, and hasn't, you know, nobody's come to the dance floor and decided to perform and get this thing done. But I haven't seen it done in other states. But think about it. The visiting team players can't vote in Oregon. They're not registered to drive in Oregon. So they have no say in it at all. If Oregon's going to tax them, they're going to tax them.
Robert Rayola, CPA, is with us. Patriots have signed a bunch of players. You're seeing football kind of open the free agent gates and giving out money. You mentioned on Twitter that some of the players in free agency will soon learn about the millionaire's tax. What do you mean by millionaire's tax?
Sure, John. The top rate in Massachusetts is 5%. However, rule passed a couple years ago. Once you get above $1 million, which has been indexed for inflation, you have to pay 9%. It's known as the millionaire tax. So for every dollar over taxable income, for every dollar over, say, $1,050,000 now or something like that, you're going to pay the millionaire tax. And last time I checked on those contracts, they were all pretty big numbers, and those players will soon get used to the idea of paying millionaire tax.
Davante Adams signs with the Rams. 2 years, $46 million, 26 of it's guaranteed. The individual tax rate, the top tax rate in California, is 14.4%.
Correct.
By your math, all right, that guaranteed $26 million, like, Davante Adams might get less than $13 million, like $12 million? Is that what he's getting?
That's entirely correct, John. Good observation. You know, you don't think that these guys look at it, but people say, well, I can play for a California team and not be a resident. Not so fast. If you play for a California team, when you have a home game, you're there 7 days a week. When you play for a California team and you have a road game, you're there 5 days a week at least. So the percentage of an athlete's income, in Adam's case, he's going to pay tax on roughly 85% of the $26 million. And I don't know where he's a resident of, but if he's a resident of tax jurisdiction, he will get a partial credit. You can't get a higher credit than the 14.4, otherwise that would be unfair. So he would get a credit for that, but don't know where he's a resident of.
Buccaneers, Cowboys, Dolphins, Jaguars, Raiders, Seahawks, Texans, Titans, all based in states with no income tax. How does that help in free agency?
You know, John, I think it's one of the, you and the player and the agent may make a list of things that they want to accomplish with the contract. And I always use the expression, John, the best gross deal may not be the best net deal. Meaning, you know, if you get Davante Adams gets $26 million, if some player on the Cowboys signs for $26 million, his deal is going to be worth a hell of a lot more than Adams because of the state tax.
It's fascinating to me.
It's not the number one decision. It's not the number one decision for players, but it should be on the checklist of things to look at. Where, you know, is the team competitive? The Rams look like they're taking a step up. You know, what other things do you know the coach? Do you know the wide receiver coach? So they look at a bunch of things, but you've got to ask yourself if it's the best net deal,
could
not on the gross.
Yeah. Could be a 10 to 14% bonus, but if you're in a state that, you know, if you're with the Seahawks versus the 49ers, you got a big disadvantage there being in California. I'm going to pivot a little bit to fans. There was a Laker fan hit a half-court shot, won $100,000. I always see that, and I go, how much is that person going to net? you know, you see a fan hit a $100,000 half-court shot, what are they walking away with potentially?
It depends on the other income, but I don't know if he taxed in California because California doesn't tax lottery winnings. You would think anybody would say, what's the worst place to win the lottery? And you would say California, but California is one of a number of states that don't tax the lottery winnings. So, you know, it's not so fast with the $100,000. They may not take tax out of the money, but you would have to pay your tax in quarterly to make up for the lack of withholding.
Robert, there's some potential financial peril for college players in this NIL era. We're starting to hear some stories of some guys who didn't think about the tax implications. Probably not a surprise to you.
No, not at all. I agree with you. The players, the student athletes, haven't really considered about the taxes. And, you know, hopefully there's, you know, financial literacy is being applied to these athletes. And, you know, you get to be out there and speak to them. We've managed to pick up a couple kids, one who plays for Oregon and another one who plays for Maryland. And they've gotten a nice payday for their NIL money. And what we do is as they get paid, we put away, through the investment advisor, we put away 40% for taxes. So when the tax come April, they've got the money to pay the tax.
It's fascinating. So you are actually contracting with college players. And does that come from, are you working with agents or are you working directly with the players?
Working directly with the players through the financial advisor. And I just landed another kid who's going to go to Houston on full scholarship. And he's living in Idaho. Mm. But, you know, he made some money this year and he's going to make more money next year.
I saw a headline, Bill Romanowski, longtime NFL player.
Yep.
He's in California, and a judge in California ruled that he owes the United States government $15.5 million in unpaid tax assessments, along with interest. How does this happen? How does it happen with a guy who made millions of dollars? How does he end up upside down and 58-year-old guy, played long time, and now he's declaring bankruptcy and says he can't pay his taxes.
Right. you have to be really careful as to who you trust. And I don't know that Romanowski got burned by somebody, but a lot of times you give up power of attorney and you let somebody else sign for you in deals. And maybe they look good on the surface, but deep down they may not have been that good. He was an employee for a lot of years, John. So your point is well taken, because if he's an employee, that means they take taxes out of his check. I don't know what gave rise to all the other liabilities like that, but hopefully he can get a settlement with the IRS, because that's a lot of money that he doesn't have.
Yeah,
and probably never will have.
How does that work? You know, you've probably been involved or covered stories like that. How does that work where you're trying to get a settlement with the IRS, but they must look at him and go, hey, what can he afford to pay?
That's right. What can he afford to pay? And if you think about it, on $15 million, I don't know if he's working right now. He's probably getting an NFL pension, but they could put a lien on the pension. They could put a lien on his house. The IRS are not people that you want to mess with. But I don't know where he lives, but chances are, since he had a federal tax problem, that's not even counting the state tax problem.
The Oscar swag bag. There's a bunch of companies that give out swag bags. Some of the Oscar bags that were given out included things like a stay in, overseas, go to Barcelona, mm-hmm. to go to a hotel. Ancestry DNA put a $25,000 family history experience, cutting board, skincare products. Should the celebrities take the bag, Robert Raiola, or should they be very careful about what swag bags they collect at the Oscars?
I wouldn't take it. Again, getting back to what you alluded to on California and Devontae, you would pay federal tax and California tax. You're lucky you get $50,000. What are you getting in there? Maybe the Barcelona trip is nice, but there's a lot of other stuff that could be viewed as not really too valuable, and I wouldn't want to get hit with a $50,000 tax bill.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in that case, if you accept it, can you give it back? Or what
no.
is... No, so the minute
once
you take
accept it... you accept it, you know, they make you fill out what's called a 1099 request for a Social Security number, and you fill it out, and then the IRS gets involved, and, you know, on your next year's tax return, you're going to have to declare that you got that, and you're going to pay tax on it.
Well, you're on speed dial with me, Robert. If I ever get in a situation where someone's handing me a bag, I will be careful about taking it.
I love the fact that you're thinking taxes when yeah. the guy hits the half-court shot. That's
yeah.
great,
well,
John.
Well, I think, you know, you've trained me to think that way. And you know, and I've watched all these horror stories with lottery winners, but I wonder, you know, somebody's at the Blazer game, they had a half-court shot, they get a truck from Toyota, I'm automatically thinking, what's the tax liability on that? Or, you know, did they just get a bill for $22,000 and they think they got a car?
Nobody thinks about that, you know?
No,
and
well.
It's not, or even worse, if you win a vehicle, it's sort of like baby situation, a little bit different, but if you win a vehicle, you're not getting the car tax-free. You're going to have to pay tax on winning of that car. Or on the shows like The Wheel of Fortune, you see these people, oh, you just won $40,000. Not so fast. You're going to have to pay tax on that.
Such a good point. Robert Raiola, wish you the best. Thanks for all your intel.
That's my pleasure, John. Always glad to be on. Thank you.
There he goes. Tax guy. See, Steven? You want to win that Toyota with a half-court shot at the Blazer game? You're really going to have to sell the Toyota to pay the tax liability. You walk away with a little money, but you're not really winning the car.
I don't want to win anything now. Like, that's what that was the conclusion I came to. Like, if I ever am on a game show or anything, yeah. I'm not winning. I'm going to lose on purpose.
I read a lot of these financial advisor books, financial planning, Susie Orman, you know, that kind of stuff, stock books, you know. And, you know, one of the things that Susie Orman tries to say is, like, paying taxes is good. That means you're generating income. You should be happy to pay more taxes. It feels that way until April, you know? And then everybody goes, wait a minute, not doing it. I want you to leave it here. You got the BFT.